Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty, Father and Mother, Giver of life and all good, what a blessed privilege it is to realize that it's you who've called us together this evening, you who've been holding us together in your love while we grow, and you who feed us with your word. Lord, help each of us come tonight open-minded, open-hearted, willing and ready to receive what you would give us, to understand, to know as you would have us know, that we might live as the people that you have created and are creating us to be. Move by your Spirit, Lord, move in each of us to make it clear and obvious that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers every prayer. We pray this in the name of the Father transcendent, the Son omnipresent, and the Holy Spirit immanent.
Late tonight. A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his lords, with whom he drank. Under the influence of wine, he ordered the gold and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem to be brought in so that the king, his lords, his wives, his entertainers might drink from them. When the gold and silver vessels taken from the house of God in Jerusalem had been brought in, and while the king, his lords, his wives, and his entertainers were drinking wine from them, they praised their gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. Suddenly, opposite the lampstand, the fingers of a human hand appeared, writing on the plaster of the wall in the king's palace. When the king saw the wrist and the hand that wrote, his face blanched. His thoughts terrified him, and his hip joints shook and his knees knocked. Then Daniel was brought into the presence of the king, and the king asked him, "Are you the Daniel, the Jewish exile, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard that the Spirit of God is in you, that you possess brilliant knowledge and extraordinary wisdom. I have heard that you can interpret dreams and solve difficulties. If you are able to read the writing and tell me what it means, you shall be clothed in purple, wear a gold collar around your neck, and be third in the government of the kingdom." Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts or give your presents to someone else, but the writing I will read for you, O king, and I will tell you what it means. You have rebelled against the Lord of heaven. You had the vessels of his temple brought before you so that you and your nobles, your wives, and your entertainers might drink from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, stone and wood, that neither see nor hear nor have intelligence. But the God in whose hand is your life breath and the whole course of your life, you did not glorify. By him were the wrist and the hand set, sent, and the writing set down. This is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Tekel, Perez. The words mean Mene. God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm is from Daniel. The response is, give glory and eternal praise to Him. Give glory and eternal praise to Him. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt Him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to Him. Stars of heaven, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt Him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to Him. Every shower and dew, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt Him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to Him. All you winds, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt Him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to Him. Fire and heat, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt Him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to Him. Cold and chill, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt Him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to Him. Alleluia, Alleluia. Remain faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Alleluia, Alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the crowd, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons. They will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking, that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
The Bible's kind of like a Rorschach in that when we grow, we meet it at different levels, deeper and deeper layers, or at different periods of our lives as we have different needs. We meet it right there and it meets us. And so a lot of people read the Bible and each person gets something specific and unique, particular and personal, so that they understand, if they really read, if they engage, not just read words. But I'm seeing this year, through the eyes of Teilhard de Chardin and Ilya Delio, so mostly what I look at starts to show me evolution. Not evolution of our physical bodies, but evolution of our capacity to bear the vision of God. And Jesus said, there's much more that I could tell you, but you couldn't bear it yet. Now, that was over 2,000 years ago. And during the period between then and now, there certainly has been an evolution of human consciousness. And as we are more and more aware of the quantum universe that we're entering, we realize that many of the explanations that we had in the past no longer work for us to deliver us up to the intimacy with God that our hearts are so hungry for. So in this evolution, I'm seeing both the evolution of the human race in their ability to bear the Spirit, to see the presence of God, and the individual, and in particular, the individual that is me, that sees these scriptures again and again and again. Every 3 years, I think, we repeat the same texts. So as we grow, we can meet them at deeper and deeper levels, and they have much more personal meaning to us. Now, the text from Daniel, I think, is very interesting in that it shows one of the ways in which people used to worship was gods. little bitty gods. They were carved out of whatever, and they couldn't see, and they couldn't hear, and they had no intelligence, and the prophets just loved mocking them. The prophets had the greatest time. Oh, your little stone gods, let's see what they can do. Because the Hebrew people had elevated the sense of God to that which creates all forms, to that which is before everything the senses can be aware of or that can be named. And so here we have one way of seeing, which Belshazzar and his nobles had, which was, this is all entertainment. We've got our gold god here, and we'll worship him, and we were the tough guys, and we captured the vessels from the temple. So we can just mess around with this. But what I love about this text, and this is my high school kid loves this, Mene Tekel Perez. What does it say? Belshazzar, your ass is grass. But in a sense, how can we think that's only true for Belshazzar and the people of his time? In a sense, we're all going to give it up. We're all going to stop being kings of our lives and bow before the one who creates us. It said to Belshazzar, here he is, playing with these little statues and ignoring the God who is his life breath and who was with him at every stage of his unfolding. Now, think of all the breaths we've taken since that very first breath that none of us are aware of now. First breath. And then we just kept on breathing, and we're still breathing. But we scarcely ever notice the miracle of that fact. The wonder of respiration of all of creation is breathing. It's filled with spirit. It's throbbing with life. And in our human world, we may be worshiping our own little gods, which may be power and control or affection and esteem, survival and security, as Thomas Keating puts it. We may have all kinds of little gods set up. But in any case, they can't do a thing for us, whether it's economic or social or political. Those gods will always abandon us at the end of our days because they're not God. The God who creates, the God who is living us, who loves us and who is with us every step of the way, revealed himself to humanity in a very particular and unique way and moved forward the evolution of human spiritual consciousness to a point that's almost unbearably real. The Unbearable Wholeness of Being is the name of a book that Elia Dilio recently wrote. The Unbearable Wholeness of Being. What's wholeness? Well, it's non-divided. It's a God who is here and there and everywhere and living everyone and breathing everyone. Even the ones I don't like and even the ones that I don't agree with. Yeah, it's his world. And so when we get to Jesus, as it's quoted in Luke, he's telling us that our relationships are all going to disappoint us. That if we want to follow him, he's the life in us. He's the life in us. And his spirit fills us. And it moves us. And it breathes us. And it teaches us. And it reveals everything we need to know, just when we need to know it. Now, the kind of life that will follow Jesus is a life that isn't common, because the common culture loves the idols. The common culture loves the little setups where other people are the outsiders and I'm an insider. Well, the outer world is wrong. The outer world is not happy. Mene Tekel Perez's outer world, it's going to disappear and go away, because that's what it does. It's always changing and passing away. But what isn't changing and passing away is the living word, the presence of God. That presence is within each of us all the time, and Jesus is teaching us to know it. Jesus is teaching us to relate to him as the inner being of our own particular being, as the life in our little life, the big L life. And what he's revealing to us is just astonishing when we look back at the vessels in the temple. Because at the time of the worship in the temple, the Hebrew people had the Holy of Holies right at the core of the temple, and then they had various outer courts where various sacrifices were carried on. And the vessels of the temple were holy and could only be touched by the priest. They were so holy that ordinary people weren't allowed near them. So when Belshazzar and his nobles are kind of taking it for granted that these things are just cups, they lose the sense of the sacred, and they're all dead anyway, emotionally and spiritually, if they don't get the sacredness of life itself. And so the new temple, the new sacred place, is the body of Jesus. He becomes the physical place where God is at home on the earth. And through him, a new idea comes that the human person is sacred, that the human person is a vessel for the Spirit of God, that we carry spiritual treasure in these earthen vessels, as Paul puts it. But if we follow Jesus and let go of the norms of worrying about the economy or griping about the politics or whatever it is we talk about, we're going to become less and less able to talk about stuff, because we'll be more and more filled with the living presence of God, who we would have to put aside for the moment in order to exchange banter with people about that which only changes and passes away. So in my own experience, I became less and less interesting to my friends because I could be less and less engaged in gossip and making other people wrong or talking about things, because it just cost my soul too much to do that. And what God had given me was far too precious to want to waste by giving up a griping speech or criticizing speech about others. And so he says, you're going to be outlawed, and you're going to come to judgment. You're going to be brought before judges and courts. Well, my sense of this is that that's going on inside. That Tim has always got tendencies in him that want to judge his behavior. You shouldn't let go of that much. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. But Christ is calling me to let go of everything. He's telling me to live by faith. Well, you shouldn't. You don't deserve to, because you did this and this and this in the past. And you can't be free now. Am I going to listen to those voices? Am I going to see fingers writing on the wall telling me that God doesn't love me, that I'm not a worthy person because his love made me worthy? So gradually we become less and less like those around us as we become more and more like the Christ within us, as the exchange of the outer man and the inner man goes on. Gradually the inner man, the real man, the Christ, becomes our ordinary way of feeling and being, and what we are is brand new people, no longer formed in imitation of the world, no longer carrying imitations of the world around. And as such, we're probably either boring or threatening to others in our families, or to others in ourselves, the impressions of others in our families. So when I got religion, it wasn't the right religion, and I disappointed my family. I disappointed my family so many times as I became what I was discovering myself to be through a prayerful relationship with the author of my life. And the more I was authentic to myself as I was discovering it, the less and less I could play the games that people play in their our codependent relationships with each other. By the way, I thought today that the theme song of the codependents is, I wanna be happy, but I can't be happy till I make you happy too. But see, we don't have to make God happy. He loves us already just like we are. And we don't need anybody else's approval to be okay. We don't need them to praise us to feel worthy. And we don't need to be seen of men as possessing powers or noble attributes. And we don't need the fickle affection of people who praise us today and might not tomorrow. That happens to a lot of folks. Jesus says, just come to me, put your burdens down, I'll give you rest, and I'll give you an identity. But I think it's very interesting, at the end of this text from Luke, he says, they'll even put you to death, but not a hair on your head will be harmed. Wait a minute. Excuse me? Boy, I had to pray over that and ponder it, and I bet if you did, you'd probably come up with something unique for you. But what I came to understand is when people put me to death, they forget about me. They marginalize me. They make me a non-person. They just make me go away, and I do that too. When I don't appreciate somebody or see them clearly with Christ's eyes, they just disappear and they die for me in a sense. But in this way, I want to die to the world. I want to die to the ways in which I've been connecting to the world. I want to die the way Jesus talked to me about dying, by picking up my own cross and bearing the difficulty of being Tim, an ordinary guy in ordinary life, trying to be available to the world around him without carrying its image in him, without carrying its values in him. And for that, I die again and again and again, but I'm also being born again and again and again with each of those many deaths. So the call is an evolution to realize that the temple had vessels that were for sacred use, and the temple became but the body of Jesus, and that vessel was filled with the sacred life. And through that vessel, each human being is likewise invited to become a holy vessel in God's temple. God's temple is now the human body, everybody's human body. And to realize ourselves as vessels in the temple, to carry His Spirit around in our lives and in the ordinary things we do, that's the fulfillment of a human life, is to bear God into the world. It separates us from the world. It doesn't take us out of it, but it separates our value systems. Sometimes that hurts, to be different and to grow. It's uncomfortable to change your views, especially those we were given in childhood. I had an angry God, and a Baptist God, and He didn't like me very much. The God I've discovered here in the Eucharist is a God who loves me unconditionally, who gives me His life, exchanges His life for, quote, my life, as though I had a life that was mine. He wants to make each of us conscious that we are His vessels. He wants each of us to carry on a worship service in our own hearts every moment of the day. He wants us to praise Him in the sun and the moon, to praise Him in the cold and the heat, to see Him in all the condition as the condition of all conditions, and to participate with Him in this vast mystery that is human life, growing and changing down the generations, meeting new challenges century after century, and yet somehow by the miracle of grace still here, still opening to the next thing, still feeling helpless before the next challenge, and still having God's help available to us because we are all vessels in His temple. Amen. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and always. Amen.